Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's gospel, you could almost say it's a very nice follow-up to yesterday's two readings when we had Jonah, who had fled from the Lord, not wanting to do the spiritual work. He'd been asked to go, as he's doing today, to preach to Nineveh and to tell it that in 40 days more it shall be destroyed. He feared that task, and he had fled. And he thought he could run and hide from the God who made heaven and earth. He thought he was just going to run away to another town and hide from the Lord there. And the Lord stirred up the seas so that all the mariners thought they were going to perish. At any rate, we know he was singled out, and they found out from him what he was doing, and were aghast that he should be trying to flee from the Lord of heaven and earth. At any rate, we find him now carrying out his spiritual work that the Lord had sent him on. The gospel also of yesterday tells us how we should strive to serve the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. In these two types of work, the Lord would explain to the man yesterday, you know, he gave him the example of the parable of the Good Samaritan. We find the two works, spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And today we find a qualifier for these two spiritual works of mercy, and that is that we don't lose the focus for whom it is that we are doing these things. Martha turns around in today's gospel. She gets a little bit upset because she finds that first, of course, this is usually the way it happens. We start out very generously doing something, our whole heart's in it. We're doing it for the Lord. And then we start realizing, how come I'm the only one that's doing any work? Everyone else is sitting down listening to him talk, and especially my sister, the rotten good for nothing. little things start running through our minds, and we need to check that. We've forgotten why we started our work. We're letting Satan get his finger into the pie and start stirring it around. And we have to realize what's going on and say, now, wait a minute. Why did I start doing what I'm doing? We've got to begin it with the Lord. We've got to continue it for the Lord. And we've got to end it for the Lord. And this union with the Lord, both in its beginning all the way through the work to its end, we have to strive to maintain that. And Martha gets a little disturbed. And it's funny, she doesn't go straight to her sister. She goes to our Lord. She wants our Lord to kind of give her sister a little bit of a what for, bring it to his attention in case he didn't notice. Of course, she's forgetting, of course, who it is she's talking to, perhaps. This is the whole reason why there's a problem. She's forgotten who it is she's addressing. She's forgotten who it is she's serving. Our Lord knows that she's doing all the work. He's perfectly aware of that. He's also aware why she started it. He's aware that she's gotten off track. She's aware that she's getting upset. He's aware of all these details. And yet, he waits for her to, because part of it is interior. He's working with her. A lot of it's interior, but it's only when she starts to manifest it that, okay, you want to manifest it, now we have to deal with it. Because you want to manifest it in the public forum for everybody to see. A lot of our struggle, if we can keep it within, come to the Lord and ask him his help. Rejecting the bad thoughts, rejecting the uncharitable thoughts. And this is part of what Martha gets caught up in. She starts thinking, sister's just, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. You go over to someone's house. I had this. My spiritual mother would do this all the time. You come over to the house, and instantly she's in the kitchen. She's Martha in the kitchen. And if I want to talk to her, what do I have to go? I have to go out in the kitchen to talk to her. If I sit in the living room, well, then her husband's talking to me. He's like Mary. He sits down. The hospitality, not only of serving, but also of being with a person. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. It's just like a little disconcerting. You come to see someone and they disappear in the kitchen to bring. I used to sometimes say, I'm not coming over here to eat. It's just sit down, relax. Let's just talk. spend some time together. She was a good spiritual, I mean, we did spend some, have some conversations. She's a good spiritual mother, but that was one of the things, this parable always struck home with thinking about my spiritual mother, because she had always dashed into the kitchen. And I did. That's what usually I did. I'd go out in the kitchen and so we could talk. While she was bustling about the kitchen, she could talk at the same time. And that way you could spend some time. And this is part of what I think our Lord is trying to also communicate to us. You know, as we're serving, you know, going about, it's nice to do the things of hospitality. But in carrying out our hospitality, I know some people, and it's a wonder how they, you know, they think ahead. They're ready for the hospitality. There's people that they make up little treats or whatever they're going to, you know, so if someone pops in to say hello, they can quickly get something and sit down and have a chit-chat with them. You know, because they've already got the little, you know, maybe it's something they purchased, you know, for when somebody comes over, so they can give them just a little whatever to, you know, to bite to eat, and at the same time we can then sit there and talk with one another. So they kind of think ahead, so they're not stuck in the kitchen when the person has actually come over to visit them, and yet they're able to offer that little hospitality of a little bite to eat, something to drink. It's something, some way to bear in mind all the aspects of the hospitality. Because people don't necessarily come over because, at least if they're really true friends, they're not coming over just for a bite to eat. They want to say hello. They want to visit with you. This is true not only in the ordinary realm of hospitality, which is a corporal work of mercy, although some of it with the conversation, as we know that, you know, our Lord is dealing with a spiritual work of mercy. He's teaching the disciples. He's teaching Mary. And the spiritual needs to outweigh the corporal. So we also need, in our bearing in mind the thoughts that, you know, maybe someone is coming over to have a talk with us, it may not just be a chit-chat. It might actually be something spiritual. And the spiritual should outweigh the temporal needs. You know, and it's not that we don't have any regard for those, as I've kind of illustrated, but to bear that in mind. Because we're in all these things, and no matter what work we're doing, we're trying to bear in mind this service of the Lord. And it's something we can harp on. I wanted to take this little section from an apostolic exhortation of our Holy Father, of the former Holy Father, Pope John Paul II. He writes about it in what's called the Unity of Life. And it's this apostolic exhortation of Christi Fidelis Laici. In discovering and living their proper vocation and mission, the lay faithful must be formed according to the union which exists in their being members of the church and citizens of the human society. So we're starting to transform this whole gospel and elevating it so that we understand that, you know, in all that we do, we need to be serving Christ. We must never forget in what we're doing that Christ, it's for Christ, and it's Christ in others that we seek to serve. There cannot be two parallel lives in their existence. On the one hand, the so-called spiritual life with its values and demands, and on the other, the so-called secular life, that is, life in the family, at work, in social relationships, and the responsibilities of public life and in culture. God needs to be in all these things or we're doing something wrong. I like to call it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, with one group of person, this is who you are. And another group of people, this is who you are. Something's wrong with you. That's called a lack of simplicity. You know, because you can't just be who you are. You know, so if someone were standing and around you all the time, they would see that you're, you know, Dr. Jekyll one time, and in another group of people, believe that you're Mr. Hyde. And you might even have another face to put on when you're in another group of people. It's like, well, who are you? I don't even know who you are. Some kind of a monster. Something's wrong upstairs. You know? You haven't got all your marbles together. The branch engrafted to the vine, which is Christ, bears its fruit in every sphere of existence and activity. In fact, every area of the lay faithful's lives, as different as they are, enters into the plan of God, who desires that these very areas be the places in time where the love of Christ is revealed and realized for both the glory of the Father and the service of others. You might even say the service of Jesus Christ in others. You know, even all the works that we do, insofar as it contributes to the upbuilding of society, our jobs. Well, you know, if all the gasoline attendants just decide to stop working, you know, the gas station shut down, oh boy, does that have an effect on society. And there's a lot of things you can pick like that in society. I should just pick one of them. You know, garbage truck drivers, all the garbage truck drivers decided to stop, just quit working. Boy, would we be in a mess. You know, everybody has their part in society to play, and it wreaks havoc if all of a sudden one part of a group of people just stopped. We need one another. We need to help. The whole society doesn't function unless we're all doing our part, as different and varied as that may be. And in a real sense, bearing in mind that it's Christ who I'm serving by doing these things. We mustn't forget that. Every activity, every situation, every precise responsibility, as for example, skill and solitary work, love and dedication in family and the education of children, service to society and public life, and the promotion of truth in the area of culture, are the occasions ordained by Providence for the continuous exercise of faith, hope, and charity. You know, especially that the promotion of truth, both within the family and as well as outside of the culture in which we live. This is one of the biggest problems with the modern mass media. Well did Father John Hardin, God rest his soul, may one day he be raised to the altars, but you know, well did he say, you know, the modern media is involved in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. This is a great work, spiritual work of mercy, to tell people the truth and not to shade it in colors that make it unreal or warp or twist it and present it in a way that makes it a not truth. You know, it turns people away from what is ultimately going to bring them to salvation. At one point, I remember in his The Splendor of Truth, I've forgotten the Latin title of it right now, but his encyclical on the splendor of truth. In that encyclical, he even says, even to die for the truth, in a certain sense, any truth at all, is really a fighting and a battle for Christ. Because Christ is the truth. And so any truth that we try to uphold, bear in mind, don't forget that I always try to connect when we're trying to promote the truth. We must promote the truth, you know, pass along the truth, both with charity and understanding. So we don't want to sound like you want to hit somebody with a billy club because, you know, maybe they don't understand something, you know, their perception, they haven't been taught, they don't know, they may be ignorant. So you don't come up with a big 2x4 and say, you know, bam, this is the truth. This is, you got to do this. Put yourself in their shoes. What would get you to receive it warmly? You want to get the person to warmly receive the truth. So presentation is important. May Our Lady help us in all the works which we go about to promote Christ, both from the spiritual aspect as well as for those who are deaf to that truth, don't wish to listen to the truth, that we render them those works which they are ready to receive, at least the corporal works of mercy, praying all the while that God might touch their hearts and bring them to Himself. Praise be Jesus and Mary.